You can sing it. Let's do it. Yeah. Thank you very much. And what we are going to talk about now is the document that GNSO approved less than a year ago, the toolkit service recommendations for GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups. That's a document that was prepared by a working team that I chaired. The name of the working team was Constituency and Stakeholder Group, Operations Work Team. And the document was approved by the GNSO. The document, the basis of the document was a survey made by the staff, and it was the starting point for the sub-working team that prepared the document, and then the GNSO approved it, so you can review the whole document. Now, Rob will explain us how the toolkit of services will be implemented and which are the next steps for this help and toolkit of services that stakeholder groups can profit from in the ICANN process. So, Rob, you want to start?
Yes, great. Thanks, Olga. As Olga described, the GNSO Council directed the ICANN staff to review the implementation items, what we're calling the toolkit, and to develop an implementation plan. We produced that preliminary report, basically the first report that we're going to go ahead and roll out with additional community input on November 19th. I extended the invitation, and a number of the stakeholder groups and constituencies have invited me to participate in their sessions this week, so I'm looking forward to some additional dialogue. But we wanted to use this session to brief the council, get some of your feedback, both in your capacity as councilors and members of stakeholder groups and constituencies. The agenda for the next 50 minutes or so is to give you a quick background and concept of what the toolkit is and what it's being used for. We'll review the 11 menu items in the toolkit, talk about how we've set up a process for how you get them, requesting, modifying, canceling, and then we'll talk about some next steps, because as you'll see, the toolkit items as passed are very general. And as we all know through some of the work of the various work teams, the challenge becomes the implementation. The quote-unquote devil is in the details. The background Olga already went through, so I'll just jump over that slide. The real key element, I think, that you should all take from this presentation is that the environment is still flexible. One of the challenges, as Olga noted, is that the council approved the toolkit back last December, but that was before a number of the work team recommendations had been fully flushed out with respect to various operating procedures and rules. And as we know, there's still some work to be done. And as a result, the environment is still flexible in terms of some specifics. Clearly, individual stakeholder groups and constituencies may have different perspectives, want to apply things differently. So it's an environment where there is room for change and modification. I had a discussion with someone actually a couple of days ago about the whole budget concept. And as we look at FY12, there may be also additional modifications that members of the community might want to look to. From a council perspective, there's not really a process in place right now for modifying the toolkit list, that menu item list, but that's also something that you all can talk about as we go forward. But let's just focus right now on what we've got in front of us. The toolkit concept came from the Board Governance Committee Working Group on GNSO Improvements. And their report in 2008 focused on some general concepts. We as staff always go back and feel constrained to do our best to follow the BGC report. And some of the text in there is interesting in terms of the concept. You know, one of the concepts was, you know, to lower constituency costs and fees by providing, you know, standardization, outreach, the administrative work that goes into just managing these processes. And so that was an important element in the board's approval of the recommendations that we've tried to look at. The other interesting part, and I didn't highlight it, but what was interesting to me going back at looking at the document, is this concept of fostering free participation in policy processes. I think a number of the toolkit items get us in that direction, but it's a very interesting concept, particularly when it talks about reducing barriers and trying to improve entry into the policy process from all interested parties and players. The other important element is this focus on in-kind assistance rather than financial aid. The initial concept was that the services would be supplied by ICANN staff. But in conversations with a number of you and quite candidly conversations within our staff discussions of this as well, the concept you'll see later of financial aid or other packages is beginning to look much more attractive. In general, and I'm not going to read them all in details because we'll talk about them all individually, but there are 11 toolkit items ranging from assembling background and reference materials for working groups and how they operate to the individual administrative aspects of stakeholder group and constituency life, like organizing face-to-face meetings, supporting the organization of telephone conferences, how you report the results of those meetings, how we assist the volunteer leaders in the GNSO with respect to interacting with other members of the community and the organization. The whole concept of website hosting and maintenance and how that's handled. There was a concept, as I noted earlier, where the work team said we do want to have considered grants or funding for constituencies to provide their own administrative support, so that was part of the toolkit. Organizational record keeping. In August, you all approved a set of operating procedures and concepts for stakeholder group and constituency affairs. So there are issues there about what organizational record keeping there is and how it's done. Membership contact information, the tools for having members of the community participate in mailing lists and on discussion lists, the production of recordings of meetings, and then elections of constituency and stakeholder group leaders. Let's talk a little bit about the work of working groups. We relied on the efforts of the GNSO work team that was focusing on working group guidelines. We currently provide this service, so this service is immediately available. That's where we have one policy staff liaison and one member of the secretariat team who collectively assist working groups with drafting, editing, and all the administrative functions of setting up meetings. The extra concept that came into this with the toolkit and the work of the working group guidelines team was this initial briefing package. It's essentially what the staff does now in terms of presenting an issues report, but it's an additional concept that we'll, as individual policy staff liaisons, be doing in the future, essentially creating a package, providing an overview to all the various working group members whenever a working group is just kicking off. We're getting started. And then we'll continue the typical thing that we do in terms of instructions from the chair and from the working group or the work team in terms of providing drafting support and assistance. From just a logistical standpoint, please feel free to raise your hands or ask questions as we go through each of these individually. By the same token, you can save your questions for the end. But when I look across the room and see quizzical looks from the likes of Adrian and the rest, I want to encourage feedback and immediate responses.
That's just my normal face.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't see that on conference calls. Menu item two is the support for organizing face-to-face meetings. And the way it was written up by the work team and interpreted by the staff is that this is arranged in the date, time, location, and telephone bridges for face-to-face meetings. Now, the proposal was in certain venues, accommodations. Right now, Glenn is providing the service in terms of assisting the council, working groups, and you know the constituencies and stakeholder groups in offering the face-to-face sessions. So all the prep work that goes into pulling together the support for an ICANN public meeting. But the real critical element of this that I think from a council perspective, but more importantly from individual stakeholder groups and constituencies, is this concept of it's not limited to public ICANN public meetings. So You know, is there a concept for a possible expansion in FY12? Would that include intercessional type meetings? We see that in the context of ICANN's contractual relations with registries and registrars, there are regional meetings. You know, the message here is that I think there's potential in this service item to look at different types of meetings, different types of support. That's something that's going to have to come from the community, and so it's something to be thinking about in the context of the FY12 budget discussions. You know, if this model has worked well for registries and registrars in the context of the contractual relationship, are there benefits for some of the other stakeholder groups or houses? So that's something to think about. Menu item 3, support for organizing teleconferences. This already exists. Certainly for the council, for working groups and work teams. The additional element here, of course, is extending that service to stakeholder groups and constituencies. We made plans for FY11 to provide that service for at least one monthly call, an average of one a month for all stakeholder groups and constituencies, where Glenn would provide you with the conference bridge information. You'd have the recording capability. She would announce that in terms of the schedule. It doesn't appear that she has the bandwidth to be able to do the live monitoring, but we would be able to have staff there to help set up the call and get things rolling. So that's available to all individual stakeholder groups and constituencies, again, on the order of at least one per month, with the thought that we'd see how things are going this fiscal year and see if that needs to be expanded, additional support. I already got feedback. We don't do one call a month. We do two. And so trying to figure out how that manages, we just took a general number saying we were assuming for budget reasons you probably have about 15 people on a two-hour call. You would, when you sort of start to average between those people who are getting relatively free toll-free service compared with those who have to get dial-outs who pay a lot more per minute, that the calls were going to be averaging anywhere between $300 and $700, again, depending on the community. So that's where we sort of came to this one per month. Working with the IT team, with some of the new work that they've been doing with the Adigo Telephone Company, their conference facilities, I think they've been able to get some good deals. Marilyn and then Adrian.
One per month would be 12, but I think you actually only budgeted for 9.
That's correct.
And I just want to note that I think that's actually an error because actually in preparation for the a face-to-face meeting, I would assume, certainly we do in the BC, and I would assume probably the other groups that use the service, Rob, their utilization might go up in preparation. So the number, I think was under. And secondly, I just wanted to ask, did you assume that includes the SG calls as well, or were you?
Yes, that was based on the fact that stakeholder groups would be having separate monthly meetings from constituencies. But you're right, Marilyn. And actually, in preparing this slide presentation, I also sat there and went, one of the rationale for 9 instead of 12 was, well, you're meeting in person. But I should have known based upon my remote participation experience that even if you're meeting here face-to-face, there's still a call bridge and there's still active participation. Now, that varies. And part of the reason for going for that average was that some of you, for example, an executive team of an SG, or even some of the smaller SGs, you're not going to have 15 people, or you're not going to talk for 2 hours, or you're going to have fewer dial-outs. So it was really more of just trying to get in the right ballpark. But you're right, with experience, we'll see we need to change some of that. Adrian, you were next, and then Chris.
I just had a question on the definition of live call monitoring. Can you just elaborate on that a little? And I'm sorry if you've already said that.
The concept there was that we use the Verizon bridge, and if you're doing that, you have an operator. So the person is on there, and when someone puts the call on hold and you get the music or something else, you have some immediate capability to improve the audio quality.
Right, yeah. I just know there's been a couple of examples in the registrar stakeholder group where a funny noise has come over and there hasn't been anybody there, and it's kind of ended the call abruptly. It's been a number of times that we've had to deal with that. So I note here you say you, it may not be provided every instance, but I certainly would like to see that as maximum as possible, I think, because you've got 10 or 15 people that have organised their schedules. The last thing you need is a logistical error.
Exactly. Yeah?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Chris?
Chris Chaplin, Vice Chair of the BC. This is one of the areas that from the BC we're using at the moment, and I think it's something that works quite well, and recently I've been involved in organising some of the calls. It might be just an idea to share with us at some point the cost or the way the costs are allocated. We don't just want to spend ICANN's money just for the sake of it, so knowing that if the cost breakdown is so much a standing charge plus so much a line, then we can just help organise it a little better. Thanks.
Thanks. That's an excellent point. That we've had some internal discussions about that just from a general perspective. The more transparent that is, even for those of us when we come to an ICANN meeting, to know how much is it costing you a minute is something that would definitely get costs down. Thanks. Item 4 talks about preparing minutes for formal meetings and teleconferences. And as you all know, as council members, Glenn currently offers that support as the secretariat for the council. And generally what we've been doing as policy staff liaisons is producing action item reports coming out of working group sessions and the rest, where we say, here's the next steps, here's the to-dos, here's who participated. The secretariat doesn't have the resources right now to provide the full minutes, because a number of you, I think, who've worked with Glenn in the past have seen the tremendous amount of work that goes into producing the minutes, generating the transcripts, and the rest. We don't have the bandwidth right now to do that for an additional 9-10 calls a month. The question then becomes, and this is something for additional discussion, is from a community standpoint, as working group participants, does the action item format work better? Is that an alternative to quote-unquote full minutes? Are transcripts enough? Are MP3 recordings enough? Or what combination allows the staff to provide the best possible service without just generating work when no one even goes back and looks at something? So what, and I think that's something that from a working group perspective, it would be a useful discussion for staff members and chairs to have, as well as from a council perspective, you all get the full boatload, and it seems to work very well. The issue is when you get into your individual stakeholder group meetings and constituency meetings, do you want the same? What's the value for that? Getting that information, getting that feedback will help us from the perspective of planning for FY12. Yes, Adrian.
I'm just concerned, Rob, when just from a point of view of putting it out there like that is getting understanding of the bottomless pit that is the ICANN budget. I would hate to think that, for the moment, let me draw upon the registrar stakeholder group experience again, is that, we take our own minutes and I think we do what we need, internally, what we believe supports our processes. I'm just concerned with you turning, God bless, but turn around saying, well, what more can we do? I think there's also got to be a responsibility put back on the stakeholder groups to also do what you can do first, and should you be stretched or should you not be able to do it, then how can we help? I'm just conscious of the language that we're using here is, let's not just drop what we're doing and then say, ICANN staff can pick that up and give you either A, more work to do, or B, more cost. So I'm just conscious of that. That's all. I hope that's helpful.
No, that's appreciated. Yes, Jamie.
I would like to answer your direct question. My opinion, my personal opinion, is that the working groups need both the transcripts and MP3 recording. At least my participation in the working groups was important. This feature was important to maintain continuity from sometimes I could not participate in one conference and call, and this was very helpful for me. On the other side, on the constituency meetings, and they are more focused, and they don't need many times they don't need the continued effort. So sometimes the what is discussed can be reported in a direct communication between the an exchange of emails between the participants of the group. So I think it's more important to the working group than to the SG's meetings.
Great.
This is a personal opinion.
Thank you. That's helpful. There's one other aspect of it, and we'll touch on it a little bit farther down the list, and it's this general concept of organizational record keeping. And, you know, again, one of the goals, concepts, and expectations of this process was to allow better communications between different parts of the organization. I don't know, and you all, again, can help us in this regard. There's the management of your own SG and constituency. There's also your interest as a member of a group in looking what someone else is doing. And so there's this balance between, you know, generating enough information that others can understand what you're doing in your internal work and processes. The whole concept of, you know, what do meeting reports look like? Are we providing them in a consistent manner across the stakeholder groups and constituencies? Are you getting enough information so that there's transparency across the community so you can know and understand what's going on? It'll help your discussions at a council level. It might help you in debates or other discussions about other policy issues at ICANN. So that's an important consideration to think about as well. Don't think just about your own management of some of these things, but the value that you will get in terms of information from other parts of the community as well. Menu item 5, assisting volunteer leaders by identifying, scheduling, and liaison contacts. This was 5th on the priority list of toolkit items. And this is currently available in discussions with Glenn and just basically seeing how things have worked over the years right now. The instances are infrequent, not labor time intensive. So this is something that some of you have already been using and will continue to use. It's available. We don't see a lot of budget or staff resource implications there at all. Item 6 is a real challenging area, website hosting and content maintenance. And the challenge there is, again, in some of our discussions with members of the community over the years, there are some groups who are very strongly interested in maintaining their own presence, getting their own hosting, doing all their own management of a site. Others, when we looked originally back at this in the constituency evaluations almost 18 months ago, is that some SGs, well, at the time, constituencies hadn't updated their website in 18 months or 2 years. And so here, the concept is to be able to provide a balanced level of resource so that everyone can do it with some sort of management or interface with a member of the community who's designated for that. For FY11, all of the budget resources and staff resources have been devoted to improving and providing the new GNSO website. And Scott Pinzon and Chris will be talking about that later during your meetings here. And so that exists. What we can immediately offer, and we've got some issues, I think, just in terms of timing, but those of you who are interested, staff would be delighted to, you know, engage with you on doing an initial inventory to get a sense as to what you're doing now, what you're capable of doing, what sort of additional support you would need to not only provide the basic information that the GNSO operating procedures now expect to get from stakeholder groups and constituencies, but also to help assist in trying to find out what the best tools are for doing that and giving you the resources and capability to keep all of that up to date. So our concept here with respect to web hosting and content maintenance is for those of your groups who are interested in this, for us to have some additional dialogue and get together a group of all of the stakeholders and constituencies with a representative from one group or another and have a conversation about this, that, you know, what are some of the key critical elements that we can do collaboratively. Marilyn?
Rob, I would actually suggest that you consider consolidating the proposal of maintaining the mailing and discussion list and being able to archive those. Website maintenance costs are And the capability to do that is much more generally available than the much more expensive email list maintenance with Archive. And, you know, I think if in looking at the things that have been approved for improving transparency or communication, being able to archive lists and being able to distinguish between publicly accessible archive lists versus archived but available as an exception, right? Mm-hmm. Those are functions that may really be of help to some of the constituencies. And particularly if they need to, we need to maintain multiple lists for different purposes. But I am a little confused on the issue of when you say content maintenance, you're focused just on the kinds of documents that need to be maintained for transparency purposes, not on the development of a content-rich website, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Do you have your latest meeting minutes posted, you know, helping with that sort of work? You make some very good points about the interrelationship of some of these menu items, and as you'll see, and as you probably read in the report, there is that relationship between this item and organizational record keeping and the membership contact information, as well as the mailing lists. And we'll touch on that too. Philip and then Adrian.
Thanks, Rob. In the past, there had been an issue about the, I suppose it's probably the legal liability of ICANN in terms of what is on their website. If ICANN was to offer simply hosting facilities for constituencies or other groups who would wish to update them, of course, themselves directly, has that issue been overcome?
No, and that's part of these additional discussions. Our IT guys have been, you know, carefully looking and seeing what I'm writing and saying. Yeah, so that would be something that if, for example, the BC came forward and said, yes, we'd like some help, then what we would do is we'd get together and talk through some of those issues to make sure, because, you know, you have different laws in different countries, you have different impacts of whether it's an ICANN site versus an individual group site. There are a lot of those issues that we are still struggling with.
Okay.
Adrian, then Jamie.
This is completely unrelated, Rob, but I just apologize. I just got an email saying that Chuck is on his way for emergency surgery via helicopter to Bogota or something. So maybe, folks, we could just spare a thought for him right now. So just keep him in your thoughts and prayers. I think it's probably a good idea. Thanks.
Thank you. Jamie. I didn't think it was a moment of silence. I thought it was just a... Okay.
Sorry.
Right.
No. Absolutely not a moment of silence.
Okay.
I'm sure he'll be fine. I just thought maybe let's think some positive thoughts whilst we're engaging in such stimulating conversation. That's all.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry for coming back. But I think this issue of website maintenance is one that... where the toolkit is very far from where it should be. And this improves, for me, the priority of this item. I wouldn't put it in number 6 because of, I think, a very specific initiative could improve dramatically the point. And that is the appointment of somebody on staff that is responsible for that, for each constituency or each stakeholder group has one person in staff or to whom to report requests and I think each constituency or stakeholder group should have equally one person in charge of that. This responsibility being put right now would dramatically improve the situation here.
Thank you. I think that's a really good point, and that is, you know, what hasn't happened and may just be, you know, bandwidth or resources is just having a designated person. I've seen it just observing the BC meeting in Brussels, the tremendous shift and impact that just, you know, in the case of Chris, you know, stepping forward, volunteering as part of a constituency, saying, I will take that on, and immediately seeing improvements and keeping things updated in the rest was tremendous. Now, that's a resource issue within the group, but if at least an individual can be identified, I think it can provide some immediate benefits. And then to coordinate too from our side to have somebody who will, you know, be in the position or with the expectation that they're going to be the one reaching out to the members of the community and say, oh, I noticed. Do you need some help on this? You haven't posted the last three times, or how is the process working? The good news about being halfway through FY11 is that we will very quickly be able to see, I think, some operational issues that we can begin to address, as opposed to having to wait for a full fiscal year.
Do we have right? Just a comment again. Do we have right now person from staff to whom we can refer and have requests that are fulfilled in the timely manner?
No.
Okay.
And part of that is internal staff issues, but some of you may have known Scott Pinzon transferred from the policy team as our communications director to ICANN's communications team. So we currently have that loss of resource at the present time. Marilyn?
I'm going to leap ahead to your next topic, Rob, because someone
Thank you. I'll click.
Who is very familiar with budget cycles and downsizing and headcount and all those kinds of things. My assessment is, and I may have my own views about whether I want something done by ICANN versus I want to have resources to do it myself and to direct those people to be accountable to my constituency. So the next item, I think, is the idea of what I would call a stable amount of funding that a constituency could use in order to hire its own administrative resources if those resources are not available either in kind or self-funded. And I want to be really clear that it is a real burden to do the administrative work of a constituency. We're very fortunate in the BC that we've broken the work up and spread it across several people, but it's a real burden to do it well and to do it effectively. I'm a big fan of the idea of ICANN piloting, at least, the idea of a set amount of funding and the constituencies presenting a proposal and saying, this is what we're going to procure, and then assessing, because my view is it's going to be less expensive to do that and more timely than waiting on headcount approval. And I'm also not that interested in time contention, because I can't envision ICANN hiring more than one person and spreading them across all of the groups. So how practical and realistic is number 7? And what would the timing be?
We didn't include that as an available mechanism for FY11 for two reasons. One, because there wasn't a mechanism in place, and that's why I'm very interested in this pilot concept that you've mentioned. The second is that the BGC recommendation said administrative support as opposed to direct funding. And so I think that that's something that now, you know, 2-3 years later, members of the community should look toward, particularly in light of the FY12 budget process coming up. And I think that you would certainly find some sympathy on the staff side as well, as we've looked at the real impact of doing this well, because we want to do everything well, to say, gee, how can we, you know, provide this resource? I can't give you my assessment on what's realistic or not. That's a much higher pay grade. But I think that concept is not something that should be abandoned. It's clearly something that has been contemplated. It wasn't something that we were able to do for FY11. So some developed proposals in this concept, I'd really like of a pilot project where perhaps we identify a discrete amount or level of funding that folks can then apply to with the appropriate sort of governing principles or monitoring would be great. I know that, again, there are different views among stakeholder groups and constituencies. Some members of the community have told me we don't want to take a dime from ICANN. Others are saying it would really help. Some of you have models for fees and fee structures, others don't. And so how all those different pieces fit into that, I'm not sure. All I go back to is this concept in the BGC report that talked about free participation. And so then what are the right balances for all that? Marilyn and Chris.
I just want to do one follow-up, and I think I missed it earlier. But in this document, we are asked to translate documents. And I would be an expert on how expensive translation is. And I don't really consider that practical for constituencies. The cost of translation would, even the UN agencies do not translate more than 6 languages, and the technical study groups at the ITU do not translate their documents. So that would kill ICANN's budget. So someplace, maybe at the end, we go back to what's really practical, because mm-hmm. I don't see constituencies being able to do that routinely, and I think that would be a huge burden for ICANN.
Thank you. And I think, members of the work team can talk about this, but I think that's why the recommendations ended up being styled as best practices and guidelines rather than a mandate. Chris.
Thanks. Chris Chaplin, Vice Chair of the BC. The one area that I don't see in the toolkit, and that's outreach, and this is the only Section 7 where it might be. At the BC, we produce documents. This is a fact sheet we've just done specifically for Cartagena in English and Spanish. Would outreach be in number 7 possibly, or is that out of subject?
I'll let Olga address that.
Thank you for your comment. Our working team developed an outreach document, which is now under revision by the OSCE. We will have a session tomorrow at 9, if you want to join. We will discuss it. There are some details that still want to be discussed by the OSCE, but I hope that we have a clean version by tomorrow, 10 in the morning or during the morning. Thanks for all the staff that helped us, especially Julie and others that helped us in drafting then. And also we had a sub-working team led by Debbie. And that's the answer for your question. So it's a very interesting document. I encourage you to review it. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, part of it is that in the BGC report, one of the major areas that the independent review group as well as the board said is improvements in outreach. But because this work team's work hasn't been done, we haven't been able to define or even start talking about implementation. As you know, the work team will make its recommendations to the steering committee, and the steering committee will come to the council. So I'm sure there will be ample opportunities for discussing what... We've had these internal discussions as staff. What does outreach mean? To you, it may mean a couple of handouts. To somebody else, it might mean and translating them into 12 languages and then flying to conferences funded by ICANN to hand them out. I think there's some balance, and there's a variety of different ways to look at that and subsequent budget implications as well. Item 8 is organizational record keeping. This was part of that initial comment I made about flexibility. The new GNSO operating procedures that the council approved in early August have Chapter 7.2.4, which outlines a whole list that weren't going to fit on a slide without my slide advisors saying I had too much information. But there's a lot on to look at in terms of what organizational record keeping could be. For our purposes, organizational record keeping doesn't include membership information. That's another menu item. But I give all that premise to say we don't have a defined process for collecting the information. or how it's made available in the GOP, the GNSO operating procedures. The toolkit's very general in this sense. And Glenn and the rest of our secretariat team don't have the resources to actually figure out ways to collect this data or to do it on their own. So what we need to do is have further dialogue, and that is, again, stakeholder groups or constituencies who are interested in this capability or in this support. We're looking at, once we get back, and you'll see later the check sheet and the schedule for that, once we get back that information, we'll pull together representatives from the various groups and have a discussion about, do we have a common understanding about what we should have collectively on our websites? And again, this gets back to my point earlier. It's not only the challenge of your individual management of your website, but what do you want to see from others? What's the, you know, this concept of transparency, a common, not an exact design necessarily, but a common way of ordering your information or having information available. It would be unacceptable, and this is just Rob's personal view, for one group to have, you know, 12 pages of updated information, another group to choose not to put it on there. So particularly if there's that support. So having some consistency, I think, is the key.
I'm sorry.
And for Christina, Adrian, then Marilyn.
Would you just tell us what Chapter 7.2.4 refers to? Because
that's the GNSO operating procedures, not the toolkit. Uh-huh. Christina.
I might be coming to this realization a little late, but it sounds as if one part of this system is so that we can all monitor each other, and that it's the intention and that some of these capabilities should be designed such that if I decided that my colleagues in the ISP constituency weren't being sufficiently transparent, that I could, you know, monitor their site and lodge a complaint to someone, and that conversely, you know, the NCSG could decide the same about the IPC and so on and so forth. Is that really the intention here?
The intention isn't, in my interpretation of the BGC report, that it's a gotcha principle. It's more of a principle of transparency, one of the goals of the GNSO improvements effort. So it was to say, if there's information, it should be up to date and it should be available. My admonition here was, while you're thinking about actively managing your own group, there's also this concept of making your information available and you having that same perspective if you were to look at someone else's website. If you are producing a certain amount of information and you're interested in how a certain group came up with this idea or this concept, then you would want to look at their publicly available mailing lists or the minutes of their meetings to get a better understanding of their point of view. So it's a concept of transparency, not one of enforcement. But I understand, I think, sort of
all right,
carried
so,
to its
so
logical
just,
extreme,
let's
I guess you could do that, but who would?
Just so that sure. I'm clear. So let's just say that it is for purposes of transparency, and I make the decision that, you know, because for whatever reason I feel I'm entitled to make the decision that some other stakeholder group or constituency is not being as transparent as I would like. Well, so what? I mean, what's the point of that?
Well, the point goes back again to the bylaw principles of transparency, openness, fairness, and representativeness. And in the context of the board, on a regular basis, 3 to 5 years, reviewing constituency charters and their operations, that could be an issue.
Okay.
I mean, it... Yeah. Okay. Adrian, and then Marilyn.
Thanks, Rob. I think the transparency part of it is a bit of an issue. Let me explain why. From the Registrar Stakeholder Group, we're working very hard to try to build our membership at the moment. And one of the drivers for membership is that, you know, if you join the Registrar Stakeholder Group, we have an advocate that will distill information. If you're a small registrar, you'll be able to get access to this distilled information easily and therefore understand what's happening in a policy world. You know, so it's a fourth or, you know, a new staff member for you that, right, that you can call upon, blah, 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 blah. But we're talking about trying to make this only available to members, and therefore through our website, this would be the mechanism by which you would get this. Do you see that potentially we would be impacted by such transparency? You know, it's not that we're trying to do things behind closed doors, or we believe that we, you know, we're trying to be secretive, but moreover, we're trying to give value to it, to our members that decide to pay their dues.
I don't see that that's a bad business model or approach to things, as long as it's consistent with the operating procedures and principles you all set out in 7.2.4.
Yeah.
I think that's the floor for what generally you've agreed on is information that should be shared. When's your next meeting? What did you discuss at the meeting? Oh, do you have a public mailing list? What's the access to it? You know, it's those types of things. If you choose to have some separate thing where, hi, let's have our deliberations of our smaller working group that you've joined because you've joined the registrar's SG, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of you observing, and part of the value is if you come to ICANN staff to say, I want help in keeping this updated, we need to have a discussion about how we do that, how much of it you've all agreed to do.
Sure.
Again, the staff is not the judge of whether the IPC is transparent enough. The board is. We may be asked to conduct the review. We want to do it in partnership with you, as we've done throughout this whole process. So I think you're not limited is the bottom line.
One other question, hopefully not a silly one. Is this available, this slide deck, is this available somewhere, or will it be?
Yes. It's on only as of 90 minutes ago.
Okay.
But, yes, it's on the wiki. And it's in the Adobe Connect room right now. So yeah, you can pull it. This is the slide deck. The official document is more the implementation report and plan. That's also on the session.
I just get a feeling that if I'm looking at Tim and Stefan here, if we were able to take this, you know, through our registrar at our constituency meeting, you know, this sort of deck through, I think it would really be helpful for our discussions.
Well, as I've offered, and some folks have taken me up on it, I can come to your meetings.
We can do it during our closed session. No, I'm just kidding.
Marilyn, I think.
I do, Bob. I want to follow up on Christina's comment, and I have sympathy for the comment that Adrian just made as well, because I think there are times when constituencies need to act in an executive session or in terms of, you know, take up things that are specific to their paid membership. But I want to make a different point, and I am really concerned about the aspirational and perhaps the interpretation that is possible in some of these statements. I will note for the record, and I hope being transcribed, that the board would get a C-, if not a D-, on its implementation of these principles itself, including failing to adhere to publishing required documents such as the economic study in time to be considered. So we're asking for, I think, a fair amount of burden to add to the constituencies and stakeholder groups, and I'm in support of our improving all of this, but I want to be very cautious that we're not setting up report card grading mechanisms that are going to be laid on top of the constituencies by the board, as you're saying. So I think we do have to look at what these expectations are and try maybe to assess how realistic they are. And where there are gotchas, we need to identify those so that constituencies are not put at risk.
Thank you. You weren't looking for me to reply to that, I hope. Okay. Thank you. Menu item 9, and we've touched on this on a couple of them. I'm conscious of the time and the food and the drinks over there, and I've got about 8 minutes. Up-to-date member contact information, mailing list, discussion lists. As many of you know, and Marilyn, you touched on this as a request, right now archive community mailing and discussion lists are already available to the GNSO Council and the working groups. You can go right now to the GNSO website and see every Bill Drake message and every Rosemary Sinclair message right now. This is also available now, as you asked, Marilyn, to constituency and stakeholder groups as well. The more complicated issue is membership database support. And I have up there AKA, and because I was referring to AKA, for those of you who don't know, also known as. In the BGC report, it was community-wide record keeping. It was also referred to as management of community contact records. It was a concept in the BGC report that talked about having one central location for information about members of every constituency, stakeholder group, and other participant in ICANN for the purpose of, you know, generating discussion groups, discussion lists, and the rest to facilitate communication. The challenge is sort of how we go forward with this, and we really need to get input from representatives of the stakeholder groups and constituencies, because it's a massive undertaking, potentially one that's a complete ICANN-wide initiative. There have been points, and I look over to you, Alan, just for a nod perhaps, that the at-large community has looked to the challenges of member support and the rest. To the extent that the GNSO embarks on something like this, it would be much more administratively efficient to combine that effort or to make sure that there's some consistency. And so until we have that clarity, till we really know what you all want to do from an individual stakeholder group or constituency perspective, we acknowledge that for the time being, you're still all going to collect and maintain this information. You're going to have it on your websites or have it set up in a mechanism that is observant of all the necessary privacy considerations and privacy laws that your members are concerned about. And then we need to have, if there's an interest from members of the community for staff support in maintaining or finding some way to combine that information, we really need to, I hesitate to say, have some sort of formal or informal work team or some discussion group or something that really needs to examine that and talk about that in a little bit more detail. Because that's a potentially massive undertaking that we don't know quite how to handle right now. And Marilyn, you have a quizzical look.
I do. So membership says to me somebody is a member of a group, right? So is that what we're talking about, or are we talking about trying to collect personal contact details on parties who are individually volunteering to be in working groups? Because membership is really different. Membership means you, like I'll use the GAC as an example. You know, there may be a designated GAC member, but a number of other government contacts. In the BC, we would have a primary contact, but perhaps other. So what are we talking about?
It's, well, you asked a number of questions there. The answers are which are basically yes, yes, and yes. It's membership in all those types of groups and wrestling with how do you create potentially a database that combines that information with the appropriate levels of access. You know, if you're going to have a community-wide discussion list, do you limit that to members of a list? Do you make it open to all? What happens when Marilyn changes her email address? Are there ways to automate that? There are a number of issues that the bottom line is we're not prepared to discuss in a broader way because we don't know the answers. The suggestion in terms of implementation is, if within your own individual stakeholder group or constituency you want to explore this, then acknowledge or note that in the checklist. We'll get that group of people together and start having that conversation. And it may include, as I noted earlier, members of other SOs and ACs to see if, you know, there's even the technical capability to do some of this work. I mean, Nick Ashton Hart at large looked at this fairly extensively. And there were still some challenges, I think, that you guys were facing. I had Olga first and then Alan.
Just a brief comment. Thanks for the active participation, but we have only a few minutes left. We don't have time in between the session and the working lunch session, so I would thank everyone for being brief. And Rob, if at the end of your presentation, you can tell us how to address all these interest questions that
I'll jump
all,
to
all
next steps,
have.
Olga.
Thank you.
Alan?
Yeah, you alluded to problems that Nick had. The problems are still here. We're still having problems with our mailing lists. We've still never seen the membership database that someone has been working on for 2 years. I caution ICANN not to take on things that you don't really know how to do yet, even if they sound simple. And groups that already have things shouldn't give up their personal ones until we know we have something to replace them with.
Thank you. Therein lies the recommendation.
I could be more dramatic in how I'm saying this. I'm trying to be kind.
Thank you. Let me quickly just jump through the last two to note them because I want to jump to next steps in light of the time. Menu item 10, MP3 recordings are already produced, and if you ask for the telephone bridges, you'll get MP3 recordings as well. Item 11, Glenn is already doing for a number of you and has done based upon individual requests. That's acting as the neutral election manager. The only extra twist here is that because there hasn't been consistency among groups is putting the consideration there that you need to have a clear set of procedures and a target of 2 months prior to your nomination process so that Glenn's not having to work with you to create one when five different groups have asked her for that support at the same time. How do we get services? We're preparing a check sheet. I committed to sharing that with community leaders here in Cartagena. We want to get your feedback. We'll have that done in the next couple of days. The idea is to get your interests for FY11 and then looking forward to FY12. So we've got a draft document. We'll refine it. We want to share it with you all to give us some feedback and perspective on it. The concept is that as this finally gets rolling, that we would have a mid-February target. The idea being that should toolkit menus change, should individual groups decide to take on burdens or add burdens on to staff, that for budget planning purposes we should know as early as possible. So February 15th seemed to be an appropriately balanced date by which we get that information and can crank it into the budget process. Our other interest and concern is to really be able to identify these items in the budget so that you're comfortable that the funding is existing there. Modifying services, once you've got them, will be just an email to Glenn, and she'll work with you on a case-by-case basis. Please consider, and I'll emphasize this one more time as well, if there's additional stuff that's not already in the toolkit or other ideas that you have, incorporate those into any FY12 budget comments that you have. Our next steps, our next steps will be to finalize the checklist, then get that circulated out to all of you, then getting your feedback and information back. Another step would be for you to comment in the FY12 budget process, and then depending upon the feedback on the check sheets that we get from you, we'll pull together groups to start talking about some of these other issues with respect to website hosting or the organizational record keeping or some of the database lists. And we've got, Alan, your admonition about that. Thank you all very much. Did you have a question, Mike?
One item that I think was, I don't know that it directly fits into the toolkit items as you've described them up here, but it's a notion that I know had pretty much unanimous consensus when we were discussing all this stuff, was the notion of giving people leadership and mediation training in the constituencies so that, for one thing, we could have better, more qualified candidates for chairs of working groups. And so I don't see that anywhere in your presentation. I'm wondering what's happened with that idea, who's dealing with it.
We have that on our goals as a staff for FY11, but we haven't figured out a way to manage that because, quite frankly, there is some substantial differences of opinion in terms of how something like that would be done. Do you hire an outside group? Do you, you know, what would the curriculum be? So that's going to be our first step over the next couple of months is identifying curriculums, and we would be delighted for retiring counselors to perhaps play a role in helping us develop that. Thank you. Any other? Thank you, Olga.
Thank you very much, Rob. Thank you for the work, and thank you for responding all the questions on the fly. So you left very few work for me now. So that was easy for me. So any other comments or questions about Rob's presentation? We have a working lunch right now. It will be chaired by Stefan. We don't have time in between. Yes, go. We don't have time in between the two activities, so we should eat and work. Working lunch.
You should say something.
That's I should say something. You can break the something. Let's say something.